We begin today in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and we're going to read down through verse 23. In this set of lessons, we've been talking about Jesus. We've been looking at what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ, because we live in a world where people hear about Jesus and sometimes talk about Jesus and even believe in Jesus, but they really don't know that much about what the Bible says about Jesus. So we've been looking at some words in the Bible, some simple and very common words in the Bible that tell us quite a bit about Him. And in the previous broadcast, we looked at the word Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Today, we want to look at the word Lord. Jesus is the Lord. And we're going to see the connection between these two words. Many people talk about Jesus and want Jesus to be their Savior. But the Bible shows us that if Jesus is going to be our Savior, then we have to recognize Him as our Lord. And we have to do more than, of course, just say it and talk about it. We can repeat the words that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, but we have to really practice that in our lives. And that, of course, is what we're going to see in this scripture reading today. So what we want to do, our game plan for today is this. We want to read, first of all, Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Then we're going to offer some comments about the word Lord, how it's used in the Bible, and how oftentimes people misuse it today. And then we're going to come back to Matthew chapter 7 and explain just a few things about this passage. So let's begin by reading Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now let's think about the word Lord. Many people use that word. Many people talk about the Lord. Sometimes people that believe in Jesus throw around this word Lord without really realizing what it means. And there are times where you have people that perhaps don't mean any harm by it, but they throw around the word Lord without any kind of reverence whatsoever. In other words, they use it in vain. The Bible says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. You sometimes hear people that go to church on a regular basis. When they're surprised about something, when they're upset about something, say something like this. They say, oh, and then they use the word Lord. They don't say it with any respect and reverence. They're not even thinking about who they're talking about. They might as well be talking about a tree or the clouds or something else, because there's really no realization in their minds that they're talking about God, that they're talking about the Lord. Anytime that we talk about the Lord, anytime that we use Jesus' name, God's name, Christ's name, folks, it needs to be with the utmost reverence and respect. It doesn't need to be thrown around in vain like the Bible says. But even when we talk about the Lord in a reverential sense, which we always should, I wonder how many people really understand what the Bible means when it says that Jesus is our Lord. Now, Lord, in Bible times, was a master. He was the owner. He is the man who is in charge. He is the one who has the power to decide. He is the one that has the right and the authority to tell his servants what to do. Now, you see, Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the Master. And if a man is a servant, that simply means that he is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a master in Bible times had the right to expect his servants to obey. It was their duty to obey. And so today, when people talk about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do they really mean that? Do they really understand that this is what the Bible means by that word? Sometimes people talk about Jesus and don't realize that Jesus is the Lord and Master. Their view of Jesus is that Jesus is there basically to wait on them, that Jesus is there to please them. Sometimes people almost have the idea, because of their actions and by the way that they talk, that Jesus is there to make them happy. Now, I want you to consider some things here. If you think I'm being too hard about this, I want you to consider some things that people oftentimes say. And I'm talking about religious people. I'm talking about people who believe in Jesus. You sometimes hear people say something like this: well, but the Lord wants me to be happy. And they take that to such an extent that they forget about the fact that we are to obey what the Lord said. Now, I know that God wants us to be happy. That is true. I know that Jesus wants us to be happy. But he wants us to be happy in his way. He wants us to be happy in the true sense of it. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy by doing what he tells us to do. Because God knows better what makes us happy than we do. We think we know what's going to please us and make us happy in this lifetime, and mankind has always messed up his life by trying to decide and trying to pursue what he thinks is going to make him happy. And so there's a fundamental flaw there, oftentimes, in the way that people approach this. But when we look at this statement, well, the Lord wants me to be happy, I have found that sometimes people who claim to believe in Jesus take that to such an extreme that it's clear they don't understand and they do not acknowledge what it means that Jesus is the Lord. For instance, here's a woman, and she's married. She is scripturally married and has been scripturally married to her husband for several years. But in her mind, there's just something missing. He has not beaten her. He provides for her. He certainly has not committed adultery against her. But she's just tired of the relationship. Sometimes they have problems, and all married couples do. She's kind of tired of that, and she wants some excitement. She feels like that she needs more attention. And so she finds somebody else that gives her what she wants. And she falls in love with that person and runs off with that individual. So she leaves her real husband for somebody else, and she says, we're going to get married because we're in love, and I know that the Lord wants me to be happy, so he wouldn't hold this against me. Now, that's what I'm talking about, folks. That's the way that some people reason today. They set the Bible aside, they ignore what the Lord teaches, and they do what they want to do, and then they justify themselves by saying, well, but the Lord wants me to be happy, so I know that he wouldn't be upset with me doing this. Well, what we need to do, of course, is to go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Because the Bible tells us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, whosoever putteth away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, commits adultery. So no, Jesus does not want you to do that. Jesus does not want this woman to do what we've just set forth here and what we've just described. But people try to justify that by saying, well, the Lord wants me to be happy. And then there are people that say this: I want a church. I want to find a church that lifts me up, that makes me feel good, that helps me with my needs and my relationships. Well, if we follow the Bible, if we obey God's word, it is going to lift us up. If we do what is right, it is going to make us feel good. We're not always going to feel that way, but it is going to make us feel better because we're going to have a clear conscience and because we know that we've made peace with God. If we obey the gospel of Christ, it is going to help us with our needs. And the Bible does help us to have better relationships with people. But here's the problem. People have taken this to an extreme, and they've taken this to the point to where what they're actually saying is, it's all about me. It's all about what pleases me. I want to feel better. I want this and I want that. Well, the Bible tells us this, folks. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, this is not the mindset of the Spirit of Christ. The night before Jesus was crucified, what did he do? The Bible says that he stooped down and he washed the disciples' feet. He was not so wrapped up in what he was about to suffer that he forgot about them. He was still teaching them to love and to serve each other. Now, you know what those disciples were doing? The Bible says that they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus teaches them about service. Now, that is the spirit of Christ. That is the attitude, that is the mindset that we ought to have. But in our generation, we have people coming to churches making demands and saying, I'm here, fix my problems, deal with my needs, make me feel better, and lift me up. Now again, if they mean by that, help me to get out of my sins, teach me what the Bible says, that would be one thing. But they're not saying that. What they're saying is, I want you to help me to have a more comfortable life here. I want you to fix my problems. I want you to satisfy my needs and my desires instead of saying, what does the Lord require of me? What does God want me to do? Well, I'm saying in this lesson that Jesus is our Lord. What we ought to be asking instead of making demands on him, instead of saying, Lord, here's what I want you to do for me, we ought to be asking, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? You see, that's what Paul did on the Damascus Road. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? What do you want me to do? Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. And that's when the Lord told him, you go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do. And when Ananias came to him, he told him what to do. He said, you arise, and you be baptized, and you wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, verse 16. Now notice with me what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Jesus said, it's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord. Just because an individual says, well, I believe in Jesus, and I'm confessing his name, therefore I'm saved, Jesus said, that's not true. Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Because there's some people that talk about Jesus being their Lord, but they don't do what he says. Now, Jesus had some strong words about that in Luke 6, verse 46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It just doesn't fit, does it? Now, that's Luke 6, 46. It's a very important companion passage to this section. And in verse 22, Jesus said, on the judgment day, there are going to be people arguing. There are going to be people saying, Lord, Lord, we've done this and we've done that. Why is it that we're not accepted into heaven? And that's when Jesus is going to say in verse 23, depart from me, I never knew you. Because these people were doing what they wanted to do instead of what Jesus told them to do. The bottom line is, Jesus is our Lord. He has the right to tell us what we should do. And so if we're going to be saved, we must truly acknowledge and obey Jesus as our Lord and Savior.